Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. What's yours? I always love it when you guys call in and we get to talk to you in person about what's going on in your world. Radiance by Design, as I already said, is a show about you and about me and how we're learning to radiate at a higher level. Boy, it's 2012, and the goal here is we're picking up speed. We're moving as quickly as we can to stay dancing, tap dancing, and surfing with the new frequencies that are coming through and the higher frequencies on the planet and the lightness of being that we are, which to me means being able to move consciously inside of ourselves to a higher frequency energy. It seems like we have to choose it. I know that we can be swept up in the winds of change, but I think a lot of the time, you know, people bandy that word choice around, which I kind of go, I'm going, I choose everything. And I'm going, yeah, but from where? And sometimes when we have brain problems, computer problems in our belly or other chakras, or we have damage and so on, it is very hard to find out from whence we choose. So a lot of times it's about release, 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 so that we can actually embrace with our consciousness those rising frequencies that will enable us to create more and more of the reality that we want. Sometimes when you feel blocked, releasing is the most important thing to do. In fact, I've said this before, my guides and angels, I have a wonderful team of guides and angels, always say that releasing is 95% of the evolutionary job. What do you think of that? And as I've mentioned to a lot of you before, is I've been involved in something I was involved in years ago, and I'm doing it again, is the Oneness Blessings, the Diksha process. And there's a fellow who is awakened. I don't know what that means to you, but in any case, the Oneness Diksha, the Oneness Blessings, are a process of transmitting higher frequencies so that through the top of the head, so that you can release in your brain pattern, the way I'm putting it in a fairly logical term, maybe it's a little more etheric than this. However, the way I understand it is that your brain patterns get released to move more easily to the higher and higher level. And at times it can release us from certain programs that are running that are actually trenched into our brain pattern. So it's like moving through a higher and higher level of consciousness. And I started saying, we had a visitation this week, and he's been all over North America, he hasn't finished his tour yet, of a fellow named Doug Bentley, who has been studying at the Oneness University and is actually a monk from over there, initially from New Jersey. And sitting in his presence, we went to Vancouver to do that, and then also here in Bellingham, two different nights, of course. He hasn't learned to bilocate yet, as far as I know, but gosh knows we've got that on our to-do list, don't we, everybody? In any case, he is what they call awakened, and that means that he's able to back up in his meditative state and accept the bliss of the blessings that come from the divine. And how we experienced him was that he sits and radiates. He just sits there in front of you and then radiates through his eyes what they call the eye diksha. So through his eyes, this divinity pours out. And he himself, as a personality, backs up and is nowhere to be found at that time. I hear he's a real character, but we didn't meet that side of him. This is pretty big character stuff, too, but it wasn't his own. So we sit in the presence of divinity and absolutely bask in it. Now let's go back to this thing about radiance by design and choosing. I have found in a situation like this that the day after we're sitting in this incredible, bathing in this incredible radiance, I start to experience past sometimes of reactions that I've had, of deep beliefs, of feelings that I've had, of emotions that have been maybe jammed down in my toenail, who knows, down in my left hip. I don't know where they're from, but they come up and then you start to be tweaked by things that happened before, different parts of a person's legend, my own legend, things I've done wrong that I'd like to find forgiveness for. But over and over, we're realizing that all it is that old memories and programs and that kind of thing are coming up from wherever they've been hidden. And our job, as we said, is 95% of the job is clearing. Our job is to appreciate how they rise in our consciousness and then to release them consciously, but not to deny them, not to stuff them back down. Sometimes it's kind of uncomfortable and you want to stuff them back down, but the way the frequencies are moving right now, how fast everything is going, how fast some of the people around you are radiating, which helps a lot, it really, really helps to know that stuff is coming up and you're clearing it. I like to liken it. People say whales and dolphins have the records of all of life on our planet in them. But I think we do too. I think most living critters do. Maybe they're more obvious about it. But I really feel like a lot of the trauma and the resistances and the terrors and the fears and the illusionments and so on and so forth, a lot of that's recorded away in there and we're trying to dump it. Bob and I were talking today in the car. Bob is my partner, for those of you who don't know. And we're talking about karma, and I really would love to be able to consciously release more and more karma. And I really think, you know, the more I think about it, this is what we've been doing since the Oneness Blessings, probably for the 30-odd years I've been involved in metaphysics, healing, processing, and so on and so forth. But I'm just amping up right now, and this Oneness Blessing stuff is really helping me do that. It's not the only style. Some of my friends are big into the Transcendental Meditation group, too. And there's a lot of different forums through which you can release yourself. Some people at the Oneness Blessings today were talking about Adi Ashanti and his enlightenment situation as well. There's many, many ways of doing it, but I'm sharing with you that I'm absolutely enjoying the Oneness Blessing as a route to higher radiance, higher frequency, a route to clearing, cleansing, and moving on through. So what are you involved in? Are you doing your meditation? Are you doing your mental, physical, and emotional workout? Are you going to call in and talk to us about it? Let's all join each other, create our Radiance by Design community again as we meditate together in our sacred geometrics. Oh, and before we get into the geometrics, I'd like us to do the seven-breath divinity exercise. I still really like that as a tool for connecting with our own consciousness of how we're all, we all have some of the divine in us. We all have divinity in us. And to focus on that on a regular basis is a really good way to up the radiances that you're putting out into the world as well, to really cultivate an acceptance and awareness of that. So let's do that in community before we jump into our sacred geometrics and do the second form of meditation. So this first one is seven breaths, and I'll talk you through it. And let's imagine in front of you whoever represents divinity to you. A lot of people in the Oneness talk about Bhagavan and Amma. I like to throw in Jesus and Sai Baba and various beings that come. And you see them in their little gathering, and maybe you'd be doing Adi Ashanti or, you know, it doesn't matter to me. Just whoever represents divinity in your world. See a little group of them in front of you or see one. Someone says you can use plants or animals as well. Whatever you say in your world represents divinity. And see it in front of you and enjoy it for a minute. And then as we breathe in, imagine having that take its place in your chest area, and that you'll call that your inner divinity. And when you breathe out, you see yourself absolutely, I want to say climbing in, but that sounds a bit gross, but going into the heart of divinity as it represented to you. So you breathe into your own divinity and then breathe yourself out into divinity as it's represented in front of you. And we're going to do that seven times. Ready? Into your own. And out into the divinity in front of you. Into your own. power in a divinity community. All right. Now see above your head a golden ball, really high up above your head today. And below your spine, another golden ball, and drop a filament of golden light from the upper golden ball down through your spine and into the lower golden ball. Now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a pyramid. I like having all the lines gold. Remember, that's a real high radiance in itself, isn't it? Four-sided pyramid, and then upside down with its point meeting the lower golden ball, another four-sided pyramid. And inside of it, a crystal ball, a beautiful crystal ball. Have the outside edges of the crystal ball touch the inside edges of your pyramid. Good. Now inside of that, there you are in a star, in a beautiful three-dimensional Star of David, also known as the star tetrahedron. And now spin and spin and spin in that star. Spin and spin and spin and spin. I often get really dizzy when I do that. Mm-hmm. And as you spin and spin and spin, see in front of you there's a magical screen. And on that screen we're going to make little movies. Most of you know this little game we play. But it's not just a game, it's a real manifestation tool. Here you are with your divinity. My heart is just really like stretching and expanding right now. What's yours doing? Now as you spin and spin and spin, see on the first screen a little movie of what it is you want to become. What is it you want to be? And I like to see myself being multidimensional. Good. And coming from the heart. Like I said earlier, releasing my attachments to karma. And so what is it you want to become? Good. And let's see ourselves achieving what it is we want to achieve. Yay! And see myself grinning and grinning. See yourself grinning and grinning and being so pleased as you wrap that in light and move it to the right. And then the second screen is you creating something you really want to create. Good. And I want to do my television thing, as we've talked about many times before. And whatever you want to do is wonderful, whether it's Home and Family, whether it's a book, whether it's a trip around the world, whether it's building a pyramid, it doesn't matter, traveling dimensions. Just see all the resources coming so that you can do that. All the people, places, things, the money, the resources it takes. And see your project coming together bit by bit. Mm-hmm. All the pieces, and then just see it running successfully. Wow, we am so happy. And now we see all the resources coming together to sustain your project, whatever it is. All the pieces flow together. And you're so happy. Excellent. You're really enjoying yourself. That's the way our life should be. We should be creating and enjoying. Remember this thing about we've been limited as a species, but we have the potential to live into our divinity and to live way beyond the parameters that we have believed. Beliefs are a way of setting up our parameters and limitations, aren't they? We have the ability to live beyond those. Let's give it a shot. Okay, wrap that in light, move it to the side, and let's open our Galactic Healing Center. And you have yourself a healing table. And then around the healing table, your own special team of healers, usually unseen beings. Good. Now the first person to come in and lie on the table is, ta-da, you. Or in my case, me. Now lie on that table. And ask for what it is you want, or say to this healing team, and take a look at who they are and what do they look like. Are they familiar? Are they new? What do they look like? And ask them what it is you need to be healed. And then listen carefully to what they say. Some of you might want to jot it down. Yeah. And then have them working on you. Oh, my, I've got things that I need to write down here. Not sharing, though. And then you wrap it in light when you feel like something's really happening with you. Okay. Wrap it in light and then move it over to the side. And then remember, your team will replicate themselves magically as they have a fresh healing table. And you're going to bring someone in. Someone's got a really bad knee here. Wow. And in she comes. I'm not even sure I know who this is, but she's got a terribly painful knee. She might have just hurt it. She's lying down, wants to cry, but she's too much of a lady. Okay, and now they're working with it. I think it's the left knee. It's very, very painful. And I could be wrong about left or right, so don't get hung up on my ability to see them and know whether it's photographic or mirror-like. Now, with this person's knee, they're pulling something out of the groin area and up over the hip. Okay. It's a woman. Oh, my. Yeah. And then we're just going to do some soothing work here, along with the guides and angels who are moving a lot of energy in her auric fields and so on. And they're also pulling something out of both legs, not just one, to take the strain. And they're also pulling something out of her temporal lobe. There you go. And then they're putting their proverbial hands around all of her joints, in fact. They're putting their hands around her knees. Yeah. Well, there's more than one of them, and some of them don't really have hands. These are characters from all over the universe, I think, in mine anyway. That's right. And then they're going to keep working on her. And she seems afraid. I'm going to release that fear. There's a great deal of support and understanding for this one. Let's move that to the right and cover it with light so that it can keep perking and keep working on her. Now, who's going to come in next? I'm seeing someone who was recently widowed, and her heart is pounding. She's having all kinds of heart, and it's interesting. It's almost like her thyroid is whacked and the brain pattern. So they're having her lie down. She's kind of agitated and restless, is not sleeping. There they are. And they're working with her central nervous system and her limbic system and her endocrine system and soothing, balancing. And they're reminding us that when somebody leaves somebody, there's a huge biochemical change as well. They're saying once she's adjusted her biochemistry, she'll be fine. But the idea is to be soothing on a regular basis, on a daily basis, if you can. Okay. Now, there's a fellow here. We're going to wrap that in light and move it to the side. There's somebody else coming in. I don't know this fellow either. This is interesting to me today. All kinds of things going on. Move this young lady to the side that's been recently widowed, and in comes a gentleman, and he's got a very serious heart problem. I don't think he knew he had a heart problem. He seems to be in his 50s, and kind of courageous. And he's got a pressure in his heart. Now, the guides and the healing team are reaching in. And they seem to be massaging his heart. So we can all probably experience some version of this. Do it with your mind and your etheric hands. And have this massage of the heart go on. Mm-hmm. You can feel it being... That's it. Very good. And I'll ask this I don't know who this is, so I'll ask him to go inside of his heart and push it out as if the frequencies that we send out in a kind of a nice arching, pulsing form will help the heart push through where it's been knotted or tensed. Excellent. That just soothes something right there. Did you feel that? I'm sure we can all feel when we do these things for someone else, we can actually feel a lot of it. You're not supposed to take it on, so when you feel it, move it back out as fast as you can. That's right. And wrap it in light and move it over to the side. And now let's bring in Iran onto our healing table. This is our political section. Let's bring in Iran. Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't really want to see another war. Let's bring in Iran and have them feel, let's just flood Iran with light. And again, like our friend with the heart problem, the light and probably the trust and the confidence to know that they're very powerful without having the threat of being destructive. And so let's just send all kinds of light to the people in charge in Iran. And you know what I want to do also is send a lot of light and harmony and lifting consciousness of the international people involved with Iran and their ability to put oil into the world. Yeah, and people who are in positions of power that are probably hidden from us, that's it, who want to take advantage of each other, those who want the war, those who want the oil. You know, there's an awful lot of intrigue going on, isn't there? I can see it right now. I don't pay attention to the news that much, but I can see it, that there's a lot of pushing and pulling going on in place in high places over there. So let's see if we can flood it with peace and with light and with what we talked about at the beginning. It's called awakening. And let's bring down some wonderful apricot pink, sort of a very high frequency salmony pink color. Bring it down through the top of your head, out your heart, and out through your arms and your hands, and start to pat that kind of beautiful frequency in the form of that color all over the various places on our planet where there's a lot of sickness, there's a lot of power stuff, there's a lot of corruption, there's a lot of weather changes. Anywhere that you foresee problems or that you know problems are happening, where there's any kind of war and bloodshed, and even a lot of what's going on in the internal part of the U.S., where we're so, here it is, 2012, we're learning about oneness, but we are still so polarized. So let's really flood each other with that kind of consciousness of oneness. That's it. Let's just flood that whole world. We are all part of one great divinity, if you will, or one great potential. I like to think of it as the great potential of humanity. And let's just flood that with the harmonizing frequencies, orangey, pinky, radiant. There you go. And have it go round and round and round the world and have it radiate off the world farther than the atmosphere. And move around and around the world and come back up into your hands, your arms, your heart. Roll round and round in the heart, moving up through the neck, up through the top of your head, out into the great central sun. And now I want you to close off the galactic healing center. Good. And then jump back into your star tetrahedron. And I want you to tell me, come in and call me. And you start tetrahedron, you spin and spin. I forgot that part. Spin and spin and spin and spin. And now land here in the room. Hi. My name is Veronica Entwistle. What's yours? Call in and tell me what's up. I think Deb O'Connor is also going to call in, but I don't know because we didn't confirm today. Quite often when she's very busy these days and sometimes we don't confirm, she forgets. So call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Deb, if you're hearing this, call in, Dolan, or we can get Dawn to call you back. All right, let's talk about, let me see. I was saying this whole thing about the oneness, how we're all one, and how interesting it is to have to receive these transmissions that really help us to, how can I put this? If we get higher frequency, ways of accepting higher frequency energies, very often what it does is a little like acupuncture, it catalyzes the movement of denser fields and frequencies of reactions, or maybe even karma, that are lodged in our body, mind, emotional self. And one way to put dense frequencies in it is to have fixed beliefs. And in those fixed beliefs, there's density, isn't there? So like if I believe that, that I'm always going to be poor, okay? Or if I believe that nobody loves me, take a look at the frequencies of that, say nobody loves me. What happens to your body? It gets kind of denser, doesn't it? So the frequencies that are dense can come through beliefs just as much as anything else. So let's take a look at some beliefs that are going on right now. And I want you to call in and tell me what's happening in your world. Some of you have been really good about that over the last while. You can also email me with your questions, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. I want to talk about the kind of beliefs we have. And one of the things this was stimulated by Jackie's show. We started talking about beliefs with the team. And we got into the Seth material again, which a lot of people read in the late 60s, early 70s, I think it was early 70s or something. And they really, Seth, who is a channel being, for those of you who don't know, talked about beliefs and how we're limited by what we believe. And you and I know that we have the potential to open up and actually expand way beyond anything we could conceive of. And this is supposed to be one of the big gifts of 2012. I'm never sure if it's going to, because it's like every 26,000 years we get this big change. So I'm not sure if it's 2012 or a rather large segment of time in which we become more able to emerge from a limited structure of called humanity. You know, I don't know if it's just going to be 2012, but I do know this, that the frequencies are moving way faster, and I do see it in people. The time seems to be going faster. People seem to be getting really sick and then really well. A lot of people are leaving the planet, which we've heard. But to me, one of the things that's really exciting right now is if we can get hold of the beliefs that are running underneath our conscious mind, like the beliefs that, oh, I'm just like my mother, everybody in my family has this problem or that, we all have heart, we all have whatever, you know. I can't do what I want to do because I have to have a long suffering. As I was re-listening to a paradigm shifter, Penny Pierce, and she was talking about coming out of the consciousness of sacrifice. I go, bingo, isn't that it? For a long time, we believed that to be a good person, you had to put up with being this way or that way. You couldn't really do what you really wanted to do. But nowadays, those beliefs are changing, and in that change, we discover that one of the things that we're supposed to be doing these days is finding out what it is we want to do and really creating it in our minds and in our heart, in our feelings, in our expectations, in our enthusiasm, in order to emerge, to fulfill the destiny of a divinity-based character, that we have the ability to create beyond anything we imagined before. How many of you have been learning creative visualization and through imagination? A lot of that started to really be pumped through in the 60s and 70s, didn't it? So we all know what that's like. So the idea is we don't want to be martyrs anymore. We don't want to be victims. We don't want to be controlled by the hidden beliefs. And in my little meditation group, we have little books and we keep track of the kind of beliefs that are in there, which is that, so I recommend that you do that. So call in and let me know what kind of things you're discovering tonight. Call in and tell me what's going on in your life. Are you able to find a way to really expand into the world to become more and more unlimited? I talked about the oneness blessings and how what happens in the oneness blessings is quite often in our kind of ecstatic feeling at the time. What follows it is the uprising of old beliefs and old reactions and old memories we might have thought about, old hurts, old wounds, old pain. And it's just like keeping track of your beliefs in a little book. When you keep writing them out, or when you have your, for example, oneness blessing diksha, and what keeps coming up are the old reactions that you really wish you didn't have in there, remember, we got to grab hold of these, bring them up, and dump them out. Very often you want to grab hold of them according to where they are in your body as well. So let's go back into the sacred geometrics of this woman who had an incredibly bad knee. Incidentally, if that was you, phone in and tell us about it. But what she had going is a lot of, like, deep hurts that she hadn't been dealing with, mostly because we don't even realize we're hurt. We're, like, tough enough. We're maybe we got kids. Maybe we're looking after the home and family. You just keep right on going because, you know, you got all these different people counting on you. But somewhere deep down, you've lodged a really deep hurt. And the belief about it is that no one wants to know what that's about. No one wants to know how you are. So what happens is you keep it logged in your body, and it takes up a whole lot of time and space in there, doesn't it? And so instead of my friend there with the sore knee really expanding and flowing in her life, she gets kind of stuck around the pain of this knee, which needs to be looked after. But what we've heard is that that's because deep down, she didn't deal with that before because we were taught not to. So remember that we were kind of a controlled species. I really love, I'm jumping around, but my theme is really about oneness and about being a controlled species. My theme is about releasing old reactions and so on, because if we are a controlled species, we have to start getting really conscious about what's locked in there. We have to get really conscious so that we can pull it on out and bring up the magic of who we are. Is that you there, Deb? I thought I heard someone on that. And the magic of who we are is infinitely possible. We just haven't explored it before. And what I'm saying to you is take out the stuff, the dross that's holding you down, and stop believing in it. How many of you heard the Paradigm Shifters interview with the woman who is human by day and Zeta by night, Judy Carroll, and her co-writer, Helene Kay? They have two books, and one of the books is called Zeta Messages of Oneness. And in that one, they talk about how the ETs, called the Zetas, some of them actually live here on the planet, and they look just like you and me. And they came down to embody what it was like to be a human being, right? And then they kind of got caught up in the whole karmic thing. And
Deb next is thing with us.
What?
Deb is with us.
Yay! Hi, Deb. So I just want to say this one final thing, that they got caught up in the life after life thing because, as you and I know, one of the things about karma, one of the things about beliefs, is that with the resonance that they are, it's kind of like a soup. And sometimes it's hard to get out. We just keep replaying and replaying. So here on Radiance by Design and Jackie's show and a whole bunch of other shows and writers and all kinds of stuff, we're trying to learn to extricate our subconscious, ourselves from our subconscious programming so that we can be free. So reading about the Zetas, how some of them get stuck, and they also are on that cycle, I sort of chuckled and went, that seemed to help me understand something at a deeper level. What does it do for you? Check out Judy Carroll's work. Deb O'Connor, you're on the air with me, and I'm so glad.
Hi. I was thinking that the betas are embodied, too. We all get stuck at some point, at different points.
Oh, boy, do we ever.
Right?
But so tell us
we get unstuck.
Well, you know, the whole thing about being stuck for life after life after life, I'm really interested in this life and trying to become so conscious about where I've got, like, tent pegs in my toes or whatever, that we can kind of unhook.
Mm-hmm.
and maybe fly freer and be bigger and find more of our fulfillment. Anyway, that's my goal here. What about you, darling? What's up with you?
Well, this morning, early this morning, there was a new moon in Aries. So this is an extraordinary, really extraordinary week energetically, because we had equinox early on Tuesday morning, which means for me it's the new year. I can never figure out why we celebrate January 1st as the new year. It's so silly, but anyway, this is really the beginning of the energy cycle. We've completely finished all the way through the sun gone through Pisces, the last sign in the zodiac, all the way to the very end of it, and early Tuesday morning it started over. And you know, in ancient times, this was what people celebrated as the beginning, and they did all sorts of beautiful fertility rites and to get everything prepared and to start. But so coupled up with this new beginning in Aries, the sun moving into Aries on Tuesday, this morning the moon caught up and came into Aries too. So we have a new moon this morning and today, and in the first sign of the zodiac, it's so much about, I guess, to stop talking astrobabble, what's interesting about this is that usually when you have this much Aries energy, people just feel like they just can't stop themselves, just, you know, sort of just almost moving and shaking to the point of exhaustion and falling over themselves. But because Mars is still going retrograde and Saturn is still going retrograde and Mercury is still going retrograde, this has been a real slow startup, this particular equinox, kind of a fragile, tender beginning. And at the same time, I think that there's a reason why Mars is the planet that rules Aries is still retrograde. And I think it has to do with us considering our movements and not just, because the tendency with Aries, and remember, I also have to say this about the signs. I'm not talking about any of you who have an Aries sun. I'm talking about the actual, because anybody with an Aries sun also has their moon in some sign and their rising sign in some sign and a lot of other planets and other signs. So I'm not stereotyping an Aries sun sign person when I talk this way. I'm talking about just plain old the raw material of Aries in, you know, in the universe right now, which is working with all of us because the sun and the moon are in Aries. And it's real action oriented. It has a lot to do with our bravery and our courage and what we want to, also just how we want to look at our energy. I've been talking about this with Mars retrograde and how we want to spend our precious energy. But with all these planets retrograde, there's been really a call from the universe for us to continue to stay introspective with this and to continue to watch how we're doing this, how we're spending our energy, and where we need the courage. And the other thing about this is that the thing that we miss a lot with Aries is that it has one of the strongest suit with Aries is patience. And one of the greatest shadow for Aries energy is impatience. And then there's one last piece to this amazing new moon, and that is that given all these other intense planetary things, all this retrograde stuff, this new moon is almost exactly conjunct Uranus, the planet of revolution and innovation and sort of startling, unexpected experiencing. And so the one of the things that I think everybody can expect yesterday and today and tomorrow is to be surprised. And sometimes it's by things that make us angry and where we want to look at that situation and see if we're going to react to it in a real sort of immediate Aries way, not think, just react, or if we're going to respond to it in a more considered way. And the other thing is that there's a lot up for people around places where the anger is sort of a gorgeous sort of tap on the shoulder that says, you need to learn to stand up for yourself in this particular situation. And then we have to do the same thing again and say, now how am I going to stand up for myself? Because this is all Aries energy. Aries is helping us to see not only how to be brave ourselves, but that a lot of times when people attack us, which is sort of a universal Aries thing, they're attacking out of fear. So if we can respond, stop, consider the situation and not respond fearfully, but just respond, not react fearfully, but respond. All this is going on right now. And with Uranus in the mix, like people are just really having things kind of come at them out of the blue, just, you know, really
Well, and I was thinking last week or the week before, you know, I went through two losses, which we already talked about. But during that whole period of time, my email went backwards, and people weren't getting in touch with me, and I took it personally. But I found out that a lot of my emails had been kicked back, and I went, boy, is this ever retrograde? It was like,
that's,
you know, it was really quite extreme. What?
Yeah, that's such a quintessential Mercury retrograde kind of thing to have happen, where what we would normally depend on in our lives is a communication tool to be just, you know, bonkers.
And then
we extrapolate, because Mercury's not just about communications, it's about perceptions. So how you perceived that was something that became a beautiful tool, right? Because then you realized, oh, right, don't ever assume anything, especially when it comes to people loving you.
Yeah,
but there's one more thing about this whole Uran and New Moon thing today. I mean, today it's just, and tomorrow and the next day it's going to be really, and the next day after that, this week and weekend, it's so intensely, these planets are so intensely together, but is that it's a great time for us to have sort of beautiful, almost, you know, like visions almost, or just these incredible, where all of a sudden we understand things way out of the box, and we see things clearly that have just befuddled us, and see things in a way that helps us to understand something in a sort of a crystalline way that we wouldn't have seen before ever in our life until now.
Well, that's good.
It's like revelations. You know what I mean?
So it's like a springtime of wisdom or something.
Yeah, springtime of... Uranus is real revolutionary. I'm sure that there's, in Aries, there'll be plenty of the fires that are already lit. We're going to get bigger over the course of this weekend. But the other thing for us in our personal lives is that we can almost sort of reveal, feel like something is revealed to us that we have been waiting to find in terms of like a reality hit or a sense of almost enlightenment. But I don't mean it in that wavy gravy way. I mean being light and enlightened.
Oh, I like that idea. I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Tell me this. Go ahead.
No. This is a great new moon coupled up with Uranus, like it is, and with all these other planets retrograde, holding us back so that we don't just rip out with it. So to the point where we are just absolutely all falling over each other with that Aries wild energy. Anyway, what are you going to say?
Well, I just am thinking that there's a lot of new things happening on the planet that maybe aren't coming up in the news and all that. So it made me think, oh, yeah, they're kind of being held back so that their value is really stewed and then they can be slingshot forward, right?
I think by the time we get into May, we're going to really feel things shaken again, moving and shaken again. Mars will be going forward in the middle of April, and, you know, it'll take a couple weeks for it to get rolling again. But, I think things are really going to move by spring and summer.
Well, in honor of Emily, can you say something about somebody who might have a birthday today?
Oh, Emily, what are we talking about?
Emily is a good, dear friend of mine who works for me, and it's her birthday today, and I just thought you might throw in a little...
Oh, well, she's going to have an astonishing year because she's got a brand new moon in her birth chart this year.
Woohoo!
So I would think that she would feel like starting all sorts of new things, and that she will be someone who is kind of on the leading edge this year with her ideas, and that she'll be further out there with Uranus coupled in with this new moon, and also all of it right on her sun, her core self. So she will have, Emily, you'll have amazing ideas this year, and people will look to you to sort of lead them out of the conventions that are holding them back. And the other thing with Uranus that we have to always remember is that it's really communally oriented. So I think that one of the things I love about this new moon coupled with Uranus is that it's going to bring our attention for this new year to what we're doing communally and how, you know, everything, all of it, communal farming, communal housing, communal Occupy movements and just all of that. What goes on in the web. We're coming into a time when we can no longer not notice the importance of healthy community. And Uranus also says the only way for these communities to be healthy is for every one of you to be individuated. So and Emily will be leading us in this way this year. She has the potential anyway.
Oh, this is wonderful.
She will be surprised.
Well, happy birthday to Emily and anyone else whose birthday it is today.
Yes.
Sounds like it's a really great start.
And, it's an amazing day to have a birthday.
Well, it is spring. I know you're up here in the Northwest now. Is it cold where you are?
Yes.
It's been pretty cold here.
No, it's beautiful. In fact, I spent the day in Seattle. I literally walked in the door just seconds before I called you. And so, you know, riding the ferry over and back, I had sunglasses on and got up this morning. I'm in Port Townsend on the peninsula. It wasn't a cloud in the sky today or yesterday. But, you know, we're kind of in the rain shadow here. But even Portland, Seattle was supposed to be snowy and rainy today, and it was just beautiful. But it wasn't warm, you know, 45 degrees or something. But
So it's a surprising weather time. Of course, it usually is here. But thank you so much, Deb. I'm really delighted you called in. I wasn't sure because we hadn't checked it out. So I'm just delighted.
Well, thank you so much. And I will just talk to you really soon, I hope.
I'd love that. And we'll finish by saying happy birthday to Emily and all the others whose birthday it is today.
Absolutely. Happy birthday, and happy birthday to the whole universe, which is starting over again this week. A new year.
Don't forget to give your web address.
Oh, right. My best way to get a hold of me is to email me. And my email is Deb, which is short for Deborah. deb@lovedogdesign.com. Thank you
Wonderful. So much.
And good night.
Good night. Thank you so much. Good night. Well, so this is Veronica Entwistle, and for all of you who are really delighted it's spring, that was Deb O'Connor giving us the upgrade on all the retrogrades and the amazing, I guess what I picked up from that is the wonderful steeping of some really deep reevaluations that seem to be going on, or at least that's what the universe is reflecting to us. So thank you, Deb. I love that. Anyway, we're back here talking about how we could be a much more fulfilled society. And I hope there's going to be at least two calls. I mean, come on, you guys. It's 50 past 7, so it's really time for you to call in before the show is over. But in any case, what we're talking about is the beliefs and the things that hold us back from being an amazing, fulfilling species. And it seems like if we're going to make a change on the planet, it starts, we know this, and Deb said this in her way too, it's going to start with each of us unhooking ourselves from the drive, from the attachments that are subconscious, that keep us limited, that keep us vying for position amongst each other, that keep us from expressing. So I just want to do a few, I guess I'll do a little bit of reading. Let's see, I can see some people out there who are, there's one woman who feels really kind of pit lamped, meaning she sort of feels held in place. She's neither going this way or this way. She's sort of tired a lot of the time, and is just, she just looks like that the feelings that she accrued through much of her life have really built up in her, and she hasn't expressed them at all. And I'm looking at you going, come on, you are someone who is very, very, very intuitive, but you're not using that. You're using your ability to feel that things aren't safe by kind of holding yourself inside. You look like you're probably a water sign, or you have a lot of water in your chart. And in that, you're kind of holding this great ball of emotions inside of yourself. You probably have a little bit of a round belly right now. And I want to say it's all about that. You're very, very indecisive. And I would recommend, when I say indecisive, it's because you don't know which way to go, so you're not going anywhere. And I'm saying to you, pick a place. But before you do, get yourself a little pad of paper and start looking at some of the beliefs you have. One of the biggest beliefs that you've got is that whatever I do, I kind of pick wrong, and I'm tired. Kind of like that. Whatever I do, I pick wrong. Just write that little belief down and notice that it's in your belly and it's pulling on your sternum. Because I'll tell you what, everybody, wherever you have a belief, you can tell which part of your body is really harboring it. That doesn't mean it isn't all throughout your body, because it probably is, but you'll have major points. And in your case, the young lady I picked out here, you're holding it in a deep subconscious place. And I want to say that that's coming from, now imagine this, okay, whatever I pick is going to be wrong. Imagine that coming from a really deep trauma as a kid, from very exacting, dominating authority figures. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And you happen to be very sensitive. I said you're extremely intuitive and really sensitive. Instead of digging out your intuition, what you did was you learned to be quite a watcher, an extremely sensitive watcher. And if you're not careful, what happens is then you start to get feeling more and more vulnerable, more and more, or yet less and less able as you go along. And you don't want to do that because you're very able. But I'll tell you this about a lot of you out there, is your ability has as much to do with being really good at being sensitive as it does with actually hiding yourself because of your sensitivity. Because this one, I'm looking at you, and you like this because your belly is clearing up a little bit as we talk. You can't do it wrong. The only time, well, I shouldn't say it that way. The only time you can do it wrong is if you're jumping from one foot to the other trying to please the mythical parents and other authority figures that are long since gone from your life. So you see, if you don't get that belief out, get it down on your piece of paper there. Get that belief up and out, and remember that those authority figures are running through you like a little program. One of the things I really like about the Diksha, and you can look this up on SAIMAA, is when they go around and put their hands on your head, and this isn't the only thing that does change, but they have maps in there showing how your brain actually changes. How the way the electrical currents and so on in the brain run will actually change. This isn't the only kind of tool that will literally change your brain patterns, because TM does that, and a number of other systems. I haven't got a list because I haven't done that kind of research yet. Maybe I will one day because it's really interesting. But just remember, there's a lot of ways of changing your brain. So back to my person that I'm picking on today, and there's a whole bunch of you out there that have some version of this in there. You can change your brain. You don't have to put up with what's been recorded in there when you were a little kid in trauma, or when your first divorce came along, or when somebody raped you, or whatever happened in your life. You can change your patterns. You don't have to live into it. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, I don't know who my paradigm shifter is, but we have a wonderful interview coming up for you at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. I love to get feedback on those interviews, so for heaven's sakes, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Oh, I know, it's last week we did a fellow who James Olson, who was talking about the right and left sides of the brain. That's worth listening to as well if you want to figure out how to change your brain. Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness is coming up at the top of the hour. And she tonight's radio show, they're talking about making the commitment to live your life fully. And if you guys have questions of the team, please just email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, and I will use your question live whilst talking to the team tonight. So at 8 o'clock, stay tuned for Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. Again, this is, oh, and I'm giving a little workshop here in Bellingham on Saturday from 1 to 4. Would love some last-minute, what do they say, walk-ins welcome. So whether you're a real walk-in or you're walk-in from another galactic doodah, doesn't matter. Let me know if you'd like to come and join us. It's only $25, and we're going to do meditations. We're going to explore your thoughts and feelings and beliefs and do some personal work as well. It's going to be really fun. So, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. take a deep breath, and let's send love and blessings out to one another. And feel how connected we all are. Thank you again for listening. Good night.